This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. The World Health Organization says that children under the age of 2 should not be in front of a television set or a gadget. At most, they should only be exposed for 1 hour a day. And this is according to WHO new guidelines. And these guidelines actually came out on physical activity, sedentary behavior, and sleep for children under the age of 5. And these guidelines have come as a bit of a shock to many parents who feel that some screen time isn't so bad, provided it's for educational videos or maybe even apps. So we're going to be chatting with clinical neuropsychologist Dr. Marika De Vries. And she's going to be talking to us about the impact of screen time and gadget use on children. Cognitive development. If you have a question for her, call us. It's 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Welcome to the show, Marika. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm fine. Yes.
First of all, can you explain to us what you do? Who is a neuropsychologist?
Well, neuropsychologists actually focus on cognitive development of children. If you focus on children, that is, and mainly on cognitive development of children who have any developmental problems. So my main focus of interest is, for example, autism, where there are some differences in cognitive development as compared to typically developing children.
And for adults, what would that focus be?
The same, but it might focus on a bit different kind of behavior. Well, autism is a lifelong disorder, so it could also focus on autism, but it could also focus on dementia or Parkinson's, so any kind of difficulties with the brain, but also on cognitive functioning in depression. So actually any kind of cognitive functioning in people with psychological problems or disorders.
Mm-hmm. What have you taken away from some of the work that you've done as far as adults are concerned?
In what sense do you mean?
Let's talk about cognitive development and depression. I mean, depression is a huge problem in the world, actually. What are some solutions to cognitive development when it comes to people with depression?
I'm not sure if there's one direct solution. There's also not one direct thing that causes depression. It's not completely clear.
Yeah, we always say it's biopsychosocial, isn't it?
That causes
a lot of mental health issues.
Yeah, so it's a bit nature, a bit nurture. I just think it's an important thing to focus on, and also on the specific cognitions that people with depression have.
Okay. Let's talk about the WHO new guidelines on physical activity, the sedentary behavior, as well as sleep under children. What did you take away from that?
Actually, I didn't find the guidelines that shocking. I think it's with these kind of guidelines, I think it's good to keep in mind that there are guidelines. So as a parent, you're still the person who has to make your own choices. And these kind of guidelines can kind of help you to make the correct choices. And I think the main point is that sleep and physical activity, and with children, physical activity is, of course, not like sporting in a very direct way like in adults, but it's mostly playing. And I think the guidelines mainly point out that sleep and play is very important for children, and that they shouldn't spend too much time on screens. Mm-hmm. So I think it isn't that new. And the timings, they weren't that shocking to me.
Really?
I just think as a parent, you should keep in mind what you think is most important for your child. So this might help, but you don't have to strictly follow it as a parent.
Yeah. So, and this guidelines were issued not to say that screen time is all bad, but just to say that our children are now lacking in physical activity. They are more sedentary, as well as the fact that they're not getting enough sleep, perhaps. So like infants below the age of 1, there is no screen time, according to the guideline. And then it goes on from 1 year to 2 years to 3 to 4 years. It's very little time, actually, given the number of hours that we spend online. I mean, I think this morning we had the chairman of MCMC on, and he said Malaysians spend about just over 8 hours a day on the internet, 2 hours plus on social media. And that is a long time.
That is a lot.
It's like one whole day of a productive day, which is supposed to be a productive day anyway. Are children's brains malleable? And what age is it most malleable?
Well, I think there's not really a good answer to that question because it depends on which cognitive functions you would focus on. So different cognitive function develop at different times during development. So the brain of those specific functions or the brain areas are most malleable at specific times. So there's not one specific age where children are most malleable. So, and also about screen time, I think screen time is actually a really broad concept. It's not one thing, because if you think about being online for 8 hours a day, well, I myself, for my work, I already have to be online 8 hours a day because that's what my job kind of is. I sit behind my computer to do research a large part of the day. So, but that's not what children do. They don't sit behind their computer and type a Word document or do scientific research. So it really depends on what they do online as well, I think. So there's a large difference between passively watching videos and then it also depends on which kind of videos they watch, whether it could be a good or a bad thing, or whether they actually actively do something and could actually learn something from it. So I don't think that screen time per se is one concept. I think it's a very broad construct. I mean, if they at the daycare show a video with children's songs and all the children sing along and dance on it, I wonder if you could consider that screen time or actually play time where you have a little bit of music and a little bit of screen in there as well. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends on how screen time would be defined, I think.
Right. And then you also have this watching, passive watching versus the interactive use of technology as far as a child's development is concerned. Does that make a difference?
It does. If you want your child to learn something, or if a child wants to learn something, in general, I think children are very eager to learn things, then more interaction is always better. But it might be that sometimes children want to relax as well, and then passively watching a video might be good as well. And then there's a difference between whether they are watching videos on YouTube where they can skip the videos very, very quickly, or whether you just set one video for them and they have to watch like the full 10 minutes of actually one video, which is more quiet and more relaxing, I think.
How does that affect cognitive development?
I think the problem with studying how screen time or any of such things influence cognitive development is a rather difficult study topic, because you cannot really measure it directly. If a child watches a lot of videos or has a lot of screen time, say, like I read somewhere, 7 or more hours a day for small children, and you would measure how that influences their cognitive development, you don't really know what you're measuring, because a child who would watch videos 7 hours a day would miss out a lot of other important activities. They might have a different kind of relationship with their parents, less playtime with other children, less social interaction, less physical activity. So if the brain would be different after watching 7 hours of videos a day or 7 hours of screen time a day, then we don't really know if that's a result of the screen time or a result of the lack of other activities.
Okay. But then early results from that US National Institute of Health, they used MRI scans to track the changes in a child's brain who uses screens, at various moments. And the early results are revealing that the kids who use screens for more than 7 hours per day show physical changes in the brain. And in particular, they saw premature thinning of the cortex. Now, in theory, how does such structural changes in the brain then affect cognitive development?
Well, I just think in general, 7 hours of screen time a day for small children would not have a good influence on 7 hours doing one thing apart from sleep, because we need 7 hours of sleep at least a day. But apart from 7 hours of sleep, I think there's not a lot of things that would have a positive influence on the brain if you would do it for 7 hours a day. So if you would do 7 hours of doing nothing, it would be just as bad. And also with this study, you don't really know what causes that thing.
Thinning of the cortex.
So I wonder if the thinning of the cortex, also actually it might be quite premature because it's not really
It's early that it's results.
Mm-hmm. It's early results. But even if that would be the case, we wouldn't know if that's actually a result of 7 hours of screen time or whether it's a result of lack of physical activities or lack of social interactions. I'm not really sure what that would do in a general. I just think that 7 hours of screen time a day is a lot for children. I think that might be a problem.
If you go to the WHO guidelines, I think, for those of us who feel sometimes it's great to put the child in front of a gadget so we get some time to ourselves, you may want to go back and have a look at those guidelines again, because it also spells out how much play is needed, how much sleep is needed, all of which, comes together for a child's development. So we'll come back and find out more about Marika's work as far as autism is concerned. You focused on computerized executive functioning training for children with autism, and we'll come back and find out more about that research, as well as how play helps with cognitive development. Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. If you've just joined me, I'm Mira Sivasodhi in our Health and Living segment. Joining me today is Marika De Vries. We are discussing screen time for children, whether or not it's good or bad. I think everyone talks about how screen time is bad. I mean, we don't have any doubts about that. We've got Dr. Rajini, the pediatric developmental specialist, who comes in and talks about, she's like, really against screen time. Yes. And, WHO's new guidelines on physical activity, sedentary behavior and sleep for children under the age of 5 clearly says infants below 1, for an example, there's no screen time. Physically active, they need to be physically active several times a day, as well as get enough sleep, including naps. 1 year, no sedentary screen time. And in 2 years, no more than 1 hour. 3 to 4 years, no more than 1 hour. So for those parents who, sometimes professional bodies are split as well, Marika, the impact of screen time on children. Some believe that sweeping recommendations are not beneficial, especially for families that lack support. Working parents sometimes need screen time to occupy the children. What are your thoughts on that?
I think screen time is also a solution for busy parents. And sometimes, if you're cooking your dinner, it might be safer if your child is watching a video than if your child is like next to the hot pan. So, we should use that advantage. And if you need a bit of time for yourself, that makes the parents happy, and happy parents makes happy children. So I'm not really that much against screen time. I think it has several advantages as well. But I do think it's really important that children do get enough physical activity as well and enough sleep as well. So if a child is really tired, you can give them your phone to watch a video so that they will stop crying, but they might actually need sleep. Or if your child is really active, you might give them a phone so that they can watch a video so that they will sit quietly. But if they are really active, it might be that they actually need the physical activity and they just need to run around. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's not always possible. So I think I'm not that much against screen time. I think it's only a problem if it will be used instead of other important activities. If it's used next, if the rest is all fine, so if the attachment with the parents is good, if there's enough physical activity, if there's enough sleep, then a bit of screen time is, in my opinion, quite okay, as long as it's monitored well by the parents.
And WHO has said clearly that this is not about the impact of screens on cognitive development. It's instead just to bring about this awareness that sedentary behavior is out there. Our children are becoming more and more sedentary, and it sort of displaces interactive play. This time that you spend on a gadget, displaces interactive play. So how does play promote learning? And this is such a silly question, because most of us grew up playing. We never once questioned whether play, promotes learning or not. But what are your thoughts on it? And in terms of cognitive development, how does play a role?
Play is very important in cognitive development. It's important for physical development, but also for sensory motor development. So knowing literally where your own boundaries are, becoming less clumsy. Children grow a lot, so they have to adapt to their own body size all the time. So it's in that sense, and that's all happens in the brain, of course. So it's all part of cognitive development as well. So for sensory motor functioning is really important, but it's also very important for social functioning in general. Play with adults or with other children is really important to, for example, develop a theory of mind. And that means understanding that other people have a mind of their own and thoughts of their own and their own feelings. And that's really important for social interaction. So that means that play with other children it's just really important for getting a kind of a sense about the social world. And it's always better to learn it in a direct way as compared to learning it in a passive way from a screen, because you can look at videos about how people talk with each other or play with each other or what the world looks like or what's a good thing to do. But you really literally have to bump your head to find out that the wall is quite hard and that it's painful. If you see that in a video, you will not learn it as well as if it really happens to you. So that's why it's important.
Because cognitive development, you're referring to fine motor skills and gross motor skills. And
yes.
And if you don't play, then your balance and everything is affected. And if your gross motor skills is affected, then your fine motor skills are affected. You know, that, and it just goes on and on.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you measure cognitive development, though?
It kind of depends on what you want to measure. So one of the most well-known measures, I think, is an IQ test. But that looks at actually how well you would do in school. It's kind of a measure of school functioning. Other kind of measures are used in two ways. In a clinical way, where you, if you go to a psychologist and there are certain problems with a child, then the psychologist will measure certain specific cognitive functions to find out what's going on, like working memory, inhibition, attention, to see whether there are any problems there. On the other hand, there are scientific ways to study this. If you want to look whether, for example, a certain intervention works, whether an intervention can improve memory or can improve attention skills or inhibition, or whether there are group differences, whether there are specific groups of children who have problems in specific areas. So there are a lot of different ways to measure it. And the way to measure it is mostly either tasks, where you have to, again, mostly on a computer, for example, so that's screen time. Do a task to see how fast a child can respond, or an adult, or questionnaires where you ask the parents, the teachers, the children themselves to answer questions about their daily life behavior.
What are normal red flags, or, you know, very common red flags?
I think an important red flag would be language development. If a child... But it kind of depends actually on what you're looking at. So my main field of interest is autism, and that's where a very late language development might be a red flag. But with other disorders, it might be very different things. It really depends on what, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about your work with autism. Your research focused on computerized executive functioning training for children with autism. What is that?
Yeah, I did that for my PhD study. We used kind of a gamified executive functioning training. Executive functions are cognitive functions to interact with your environment, like working memory, inhibition, so stopping behavior, cognitive flexibility, so flexibly switching between different kind of behaviors. And those are all functions that children with autism have problems with. And with a computerized training, we try to train those functions. Unfortunately, the control group that kind of played the same computerized training but without active training elements improved just as much as those children who had active training elements. So the intervention didn't seem to work. On the other hand, it also didn't seem to hurt because everyone improved. So the conclusion of the study is that it wasn't effective. The training was not effective. But it also didn't show that screen time was a bad thing or that it couldn't work at all. I think there are still a number of options that would be possible. We could try to train it slightly differently. And I think one of the main problems in my study was that they couldn't generalize it to daily life. So those specific functions could be trained a bit, but then their working memory would improve a little bit on a specific task, or their flexibility would improve a little bit on a specific task, but they couldn't really use that improvement in daily life. So I think a computerized training might work, but additionally, you need to have some kind of component to be able to generalize it in daily life or practice it in daily life as well.
Okay, so it needs to be a combination of both.
Yeah.
Okay. And screen time versus face-to-face interaction, how does that affect cognitive development?
I think...
And that's an area we're terribly worried about. I mean, we're all going into our own little digital world. We socialize less. There's less and less face-to-face interaction.
I think it kind of depends on what you're looking at. So if you want to learn something, so in children below the age of five, face-to-face is really important, also simply because it's important for attachment. And up until the age of five, or also after that, but specifically up until the age of five, attachment is really, really important. And a good attachment with your parents or other people close by is really important for attachment for the rest of your life, actually. And face-to-face is simply necessary for that. On the other hand, I think if you look at adults, I think social media, well, I mean, if it's really social media, but if you look at just WhatsApp, for example, it's quite a social thing. If I chat with my friends over WhatsApp, I do think that that's some kind of social behavior as well. And I don't do that instead of actually seeing them. Well, right now I do with my friends in the Netherlands because they live quite far away. But then WhatsApp is actually the solution. So I think as long as you do both and you don't use social media instead of social interaction with other people, I think it's kind of fine. It can be an extra way of social interaction, but you shouldn't do it instead of. You shouldn't use social media instead of social interaction with other people.
We already foresee in years to come that social isolation will be the biggest health problem because of digitization and in our all of us going into this digital world. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not that extremely worried. I do think it has to be monitored. I think you have to be aware of these kind of things. So we shouldn't all look at our phones all the time.
I mean, it's the reason I ask is because it's starting with the young.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why it's important to, well, at least give a good example to your children. Specifically as a parent, you should be aware of that. So, well, my daughter actually tells me to put my phone away if I look at it too long. And then I will listen to her because I know she's right. And I try to focus on that as well. But clearly, as a parent, you can't be perfect all the time. So we look at our phones as well. So I think it's something to be aware of, but I don't think it will be all disastrous because I think people just need social interaction anyway. So we will look for it at some way or the other.
The WHO guideline also spoke about sleep. How does sleep impact cognitive development?
I think sleep is very important. Sleep is important for memory consolidation. It's important for your mood. It's just important to get the right energy levels. It's important for your physical health. So I think sleep is really important. I actually tell that to all my two T students at the University of Nottingham always. I always tell them, don't skip sleep to study because sleep is really important for your memory. And if you stop sleeping, then you will also not do well at the exam. So I think sleep is really important, specifically for small children. And they also specifically mention good quality sleep. So you can put your baby to sleep while walking through a really busy shopping mall. And I don't say that parents should stop doing that because I think it's really great that here in Malaysia, people take their children anywhere. And I do the same thing because I think it's really nice. But they also need nice and quiet sleep for a couple of hours a day at least.
Yeah, the nap time, that kind of thing. And the guidelines actually spell out how much nap time and sleep that children need at various levels.
Yeah.
And quality of sleep, good quality of sleep, not just sleep, but good quality of sleep as well. So do you think there's a balance that families can strike in order to maintain the use of gadgets for children?
Yeah, I think actually balance is kind of the key point. I think it's important to be aware that you just don't at every single moment where you want your children to be quiet, just give them a phone immediately. I think sometimes there are alternatives, like they can make a drawing, they can do something else. But you can give them your phone every now and then. If it's a good time, if you think it's time for them to relax a bit, but they're not ready for their sleep yet. I mean, you can balance it. But I think balance is the key point, that you should be aware of it and have certain kind of rules. You don't always have to stick to your own rules, but at least don't always all take your phones when you're at the table. Don't give your child a phone immediately when you step into the car. They can also just watch, look out of the window at the other cars, and that might be good as well.
Which is what we did when we were growing up, now, didn't we? So overall, the message from WHO's guidelines is to grow up healthy, children need to sit less and play more. We've always known this. So how does the field of cognitive psychology confirm this wisdom?
I think in the field of cognitive psychology, we also have always known this. So I think that's not really anything new. So in that respect, I don't think that the guidelines are that shocking or new. I think they just give some really clear guidelines. And I do think that I understand that parents might be kind of worried whether they do the right thing or not. But I think it's guidelines. So in your own family, you have to make your own rules and use those guidelines in the way as a parent you want to use them. And we know that sleep is very important. We know that physical activity is very important. And about screen time, we're not so sure. I don't think it's really a bad thing. It really depends on what kind of screen time we're talking about. But we also are not really sure yet whether it's a good thing. So I think that's the reason why they say, well, sleep and physical activity is really important. Well, screen time, we're not so sure yet. So, well, you should limit it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So an hour a day is fine. I think a little bit more if parents really want to. Okay. Yep.
A big no-no for 1 year and below. But we have a phone call from Noor. Noor, you have a question. Go ahead. Hi, go ahead. Yes.
Hello, doctor.
Hi.
So I want to ask, my little brother, he's 12 years old. He gets these terrible headaches and seizures. And my parents think it's because he looks at his phone for too long. Is that true? Does exposure to screens for an extended amount of time have that effect on children?
Sure. How old is your little brother?
He's 12.
12. Okay. All right. Yes. Thank you for that. Marika is not really a doctor. She's a neuropsychologist. But you want to sort of attempt answering that question?
Yeah. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm more like a scientific doctor. So I'm not sure. I think there's not a lot of proof that there's a direct effect of prolonged screen time on headaches. But it kind of depends on how long that screen time is. And did you mention that he also has seizures?
Seizures, that's right.
I'm not aware of that being a direct effect of screen time, actually, because there's a lot of people who have a lot of screen time and we do not all have seizures. So I'm not sure about that.
I would say no, go and consult a doctor. I think that would be the best because, seizures are not something to be... You want to get it checked out for sure. Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you very much for joining us today. That was Dr. Marike De Vries, a clinical neuropsychologist, speaking to us about screen time for children, whether or not it's good or bad on the bigger picture. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.